Continuing my story, everybody, from Michigan now, Andrews University, to New York. Oh, the days of darkness. Is it possible that we can be given the light of the gospel and then be plunged into darkness? Well, I think so, because that was my experience, and yet the Lord still held on to me. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens. Thank you for joining me today. You're listening to Good News, How God Will Walk Through the Valley of the Shadow of Death with Us, How He Will Bring Us Out into the Light Afterwards, How He Never Forsakes Us as We Trust in Him, Whether We Are Well or Sick, Whether We Are in the Light or in the Darkness. So, stay tuned. More of the story. One of the things that has amazed me ever since the days when I learned about the gospel in the book of Romans at Andrews University, one of the things that has continued to surprise me and amaze me is the fact that God brought this book to me, not another book, but this book, in the light of my psychological damage, in the light of the fact that my emotions and my woundedness had severely damaged me psychologically, and that I was seeking to understand how these things could possibly be. You see, as I continued to read and study the book of Romans, beyond Dr. Hans Lorandell, I saw, for instance, the message of the four great powers, the deliverance or the freedom that Jesus Christ brought us from the four great powers described in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. I got an understanding of that in a deeper way from Anders Nygren, Anders, A-N-D-E-R-S, Nygren, N-Y-G-R-E-N, who I believe was a bishop of the Swedish church. And this book had been referred to me by Dr. Lorandell. And as I studied it further, I saw how Dr. Anders Nygren so clearly presented the themes of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. He pointed out that Romans 5 is about Jesus having brought freedom from wrath. And chapter 6 is about Jesus having brought freedom from the power of sin. And chapter 7 is about freedom from the law, how Jesus' righteousness has brought freedom from the law. And chapter 8 is about how Jesus' resurrection has brought freedom from death. So we see in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, freedom from the four great powers of wrath, sin, law, and death. To put it in another way, as Dr. Anders Nygren would do, we are freed from the kingdom of Adam, which is freedom from the law, the powers of wrath, sin, law, and death. Now, at that same time, or in that period somewhere within a year or two, I had come across a book written by a psychologist who was talking about the four things that he meets in his counseling room every day. The three things that people are dealing with. They are dealing with feelings of abandonment, feelings of helplessness, feelings of guilt, and feelings of despair. And what amazed me as I continued to study that it was that these four things that people deal with in counseling, abandonment and helplessness and guilt and despair, corresponded to the four powers in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. Wrath, sin, law, and death. For when a person feels abandoned, he feels he's under, that the spiritual force behind that is being under the wrath of God, where God abandons or hands people over to the powers of sin. Jesus has taken that upon himself instead of us. And when we feel helpless, that's Romans chapter 6, under the power of the law of sin, because the issue about sin is not so much guilt, but powerlessness. We are under bondage. And the issue of guilt, well, that's Romans chapter 7, the power of the law, which we are freed from in Jesus. And the issue of despair, well, that's Romans 8, which is the power of death, where we're talking not only about death at the end of life, but death in the thousand little deaths we go through every day, the disappointments, the losses, the griefs, the pain. And so it became increasingly clear to me that Paul was talking about the good news of Jesus Christ that corresponded to the psychological needs that we all face and are confronted with, and the psychological damage that we are all experiencing in this broken world. And what's even more important, the psychological damage that I myself was experiencing through an absent father. Again, I have to say to you, and I always do in honor of my dad, he was a good man, but he could not be there for me because he was in the Second World War defending the country, and he was also an industrial fisherman, being away for 10 days out of 12 all through my childhood and youth. So he was good, but he couldn't be there for me. That created an enormous void in my emotional development. I had not bonded to my father, my earthly father. In addition to that, I got polio, which led me to feelings of deep shame. That was a totally illogical connection, of course, but it led to that. And then that absent father and the shame over my body led to the homosexual struggle, where I found myself wanting to reach out and be intimate and close to men instead of women, because I had not had that bonding to my father, because I had rejected my own sense of well-being in the face of polio. Those factors then crashed up against Christian faith, walking with God, and therefore feeling an enormous contradiction in myself between being righteous in Jesus or a godly man for Jesus, and yet having this enormous confusion within my psyche. Now, how incredible, this is what is incredible to me, ladies and gentlemen, how incredible that God should introduce me to a book, a definitive book on the gospel, that is a book that defines the gospel so accurately and clearly and carefully, should introduce me to a book that revealed Jesus for the psychology of the mind. I tell you, there is no other book in the Bible that speaks so clearly to the psychology of the mind and to the troubled mind, to the mind that is feeling abandoned and helpless and guilty and in despair. That he should introduce me to a book that speaks specifically to those issues. And this is why the gospel has become so glorious and interesting and important and declarative to me. It is something I must declare to myself and declare to you. Now, you know, I went into Dr. Hans Larandel's office at the end of the 3 months of this marvelous book and teaching in the book of Romans, and I told him that this had given the answer to me in regard to homosexuality. And he looked embarrassed, and he looked down as he was put, I remember distinctly, he was putting books in his briefcase, standing up behind his desk as I was sitting down in front of his desk, and he said, "Well, may you have a good life, Colin." And I knew at that moment that not even Dr. Hans Larandel understood all the implications He understood what he was teaching, but he did not understand all the implications of what he was teaching. And I doubt that any of us who teach the gospel and teach the book of Romans and teach the scriptures understand fully the implications of what we are teaching. Because, of course, it's far bigger than all of us. It's greater than anything that we are simply holding this truth in earthen vessels. We haven't a clue, really, of its incredible enormity and its depth and its breadth and its height. But the Lord, I believe, and I'm saying this humbly, introduced it to me. I'm not claiming any divine inspiration. I'm not claiming to be a prophet or anything of that nature. I'm simply saying that God places people in the world in certain situations who have a particular message to give because of their experience and because of their past and because of their traumas in life. It's not that they teach or preach that particular experience, but it's that they teach the gospel through the experience they went through and go through. And that's what I'm saying to you. However, with all of this wonderful light and glory upon me, I then end up in the darkest place, at least for me, in the darkest place of the world, at least for me. Times Square, New York City, a place surrounded by 50 sex shops and massage parlors in those days before Mayor Giuliano cleaned it all up, a place of terrible depression and darkness, temptation and evil that completely overwhelmed me. How odd, how strange that God would give light and then plunge into darkness. But no, it's not odd at all when you understand how human nature works. Thank you very much, everybody, for how donations are coming through to cover the radio broadcast. There is still a few hundred to go, but if you can help, it would be enormously appreciated. We, as you know, broadcast this program every day, 5 days a week, 52 days a year, 52 weeks a year, and for the last 17 years, all because of your kindness and your grace. It doesn't come from any big organization. I pay the rent to KLT about $850. Sometimes it's a bit lower, sometimes it's higher. This month it's $874. And I pay that each month. And I can only do so because of your donations from people like yourself who so appreciate the training they are receiving from this broadcast, so appreciate the proclamation of the gospel that they want to support it. So, if you would like to send a donation to help this broadcast stay on the air, then please send it to Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366. Send your check to Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado, 80160. If you'd like to make it your donation by PayPal, simply go to faithquestradio.com, faithquestradio.com. If you don't know how to sign up for PayPal, just go Google PayPal and they'll tell you how to join. And it's very, very simple. It makes donation transitions so very simple. PayPal, go to faithquestradio.com. And make your donation there. Thank you so much. These donations are tax deductible. In the new year, I will send you a receipt for them. I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.